Evening all, this is Northy Sipping Forecast. My name is Miles and I'm back after a very, very long spell. Far too long. But joining me tonight is our good friend Chris. Hello, Chris.
Evening, Miles, you alright?
I'm alright,
how are you? Hi, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Well, are we still allowed to say that in February?
I'm claiming it.
Last day of January, first day of February by the time we finish recording.
It's tax deadline, yeah, that's the moment. So, how's things alright?
Not bad.
What was the best Christmas present you got?
Best Christmas present I got. I got plenty of stuff for the barbecue.
Yeah.
I would say new barbecue toys.
Awesome. So I look forward to summer.
Yeah. Well, I've been using it all winter. Barbecued the turkey on Christmas Day.
Oh, did you?
Did all the food for New Year's Eve on the barbecue. So quality. It's already been getting used, mate.
Love it.
Did some steaks on it the other night. I like barbecuing in winter. I think it's my favourite type of barbecue.
Yeah. I like it. I'll let you cook, but I like
deal.
Sounds good.
You bring
sounds
a beer.
Good. Yeah, fine by me. Fine by me. So, a couple of things to do tonight. But first of all, start as always with a Northeast beer, and this is one that caught my eye mainly because of the name. I think it's one of the best names I've seen.
It is. It's a good. The can's got a nice. Yeah.
We are going to be sampling tonight a beer from Weiland Brewery called Dank Marvin, which is a double IPA, coming in at 8.6%.
So Maz obviously got a can each rather than sharing one.
Naturally. I thought, yeah, that's not going to be shared that way.
didn't learn our lessons from the podcast that you never got to hear where we did the cannonball run in about an hour.
Yeah.
But
Well, I suspect it may take a little bit longer.
Maybe.
Tonight.
Who knows?
Right, before I crack it open, let's see what the details are. I've got Weiland Brewery's description here. Dipper, a Contiki Shidoogie Shindigger of a dipper, dripping with dankness and echoing with a reverberated fresh, twangy bitterness. No Apache, but lashings of Citra, Amarillo, and Centennial Cryo to Shazam, Tango, and Bossa Ruyu. Snap, crackle, and how's your dad? So you now know exactly what you're going to be tasting.
Do you get the Apache reference?
I don't. Is that a Hank Marvin song? Yeah. I guessed, but I wasn't. You know, I'm obviously far younger than yourself.
It's lies, I tell you.
So let's get this cracked open.
Indeed.
Interesting that they reference bitterness as well.
Of course, it's back, isn't it?
Exactly. Was it ever away though?
Not for us.
Cheers. Cheers. Smells delicious.
It does, doesn't it? There's no other word you could use, really.
Incredible levels of fruit in the aroma. I'm getting proper mango pulp.
So it's got Citra, Amarillo, Centennial. Works as an account.
Yeah.
And then it's got the cryo variants and stuff as well of them, so it's quite bitter, isn't it, actually.
Smells amazing. Colour wise. It's hazy.
It's not like a gloopy kind
certainly
of
not, is it?
New England kind of levels of haze.
Certainly
it?
Not. The edges, there's quite a bit of light getting through that. I think this is going to be fantastic.
I've been nodding, I've already had.
I noticed. Wow, it's lovely. Very nice.
Chewy, isn't it? It's got that.
Yeah.
It drinks 8%. It's not one of these that hides it.
No, it's.
And I think that's the bit, and it helps. I think it maybe tricks you a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you get these really juicy ones, that you think, oh, it doesn't drink that strength. But if it's got a punchy bitterness to it as well, it makes you think it's stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're having a bit more of a wrestle with it.
Yeah, you know? It's a more challenging
exactly.
beer.
There's a real resinous edge to that. Mm-hmm. Lovely. I really like that in a beer. In a bigger IPA.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, I mean, for 8.6%, it's still incredibly drinkable.
Oh, I think It's not one for the new to craft people. Like I say, it's challenging. I think it's a good word to describe it. It's delicious, though.
I think it's that level of challenge is what I want. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of beers out there that kind of wash over me, and I don't really get enough from them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this does challenge me. I don't think the bitterness is too sharp either. It has a good punch, but then softens.
It doesn't linger too long.
No. I think, as well, I think we're now getting to the stage where beers aren't just hazy for the sake of it. I think where it's warranted in terms of like what it brings to the mouthfeel and things, I think this beer is a good example of that slight haze really brings out a good mouthfeel to it.
Yeah.
Just to soften the whole beer up.
Yep, it's a good choice, this one, mate. Yeah. I must admit, I passed it over when I saw it on the shelf.
Yeah. Well, this was part of a trio of beers that were released. What was the third one? Because obviously they released this alongside Jakehead. I can't remember what the third
can was. It was called something like Searching for the Joys or
Searching
something.
For the Joys again, right? Which was a pale ale, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But obviously Jakehead, such an iconic beer, especially locally, that the clamour for the Jakehead in cans.
Well, I would have gone straight. But
if
they'd have had any left on the shelf, that's the one I would have got when I was in the other day.
And it's funny because, I mean, Jakehead's not generally a difficult beer to get hold of. You know, there's certainly keg-wise, you can get it in plenty of bars.
To take home.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah. But obviously, that's the first time they've canned it. They've bottled it for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great beer, Jacob.
And I wonder if we'll ever see double again.
Yeah. There has to be unfinished business there for them.
I remember going down to the launch night for that.
Yeah.
And they launched it 13 cities. Like there was one bar in each city on Friday the 13th, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And I hope no one from work's listening. I nipped off at lunchtime and I was teaching for 3 hours in the afternoon. I was
like, just to have a look.
But they had it on cask and keg.
In the Bridge Tavern.
Yeah.
Which just happened to be next door to my office at the
time. Yeah, so I just happened to go there for my lunch and get a quail's egg and black. Was it quail's egg and haggis toasty, or was it quail's egg and black pudding toasty? Whatever it was, delicious. And washed it down with 2/3 of.
How very hipster of you.
It was very hipster of me. And I don't give a shit. And then I tried it on keg and I tried it on cask after that. I preferred the keg, I think, because it was so thick. Being a bit colder, it helped.
Yeah.
But, I'd like to see that beer out again.
The thing with Jakehead, I imagine Jakehead itself, it's quite a beast of a beer, of a normal IPA. You know, compared to other IPAs around, it's quite...
Well, they're referring to it as a supercharged IPA.
Well, it very much is supercharged. I've seen quite a lot of people be supercharged after drinking a few pints of that.
The pub I go to closest to work that has it on, they only do it in 2/3.
Yeah.
So they will sell it you in a pint, but they say the standard measure for this is 2/3.
That is fair enough.
You have to ask them if you want a pint, which I think is a good idea because I've come out of there tanked a few times just drinking the 2/3. So.
Yeah. It's a hell of a beer.
But we were talking about Dank Marvin.
Yeah,
it was my fault for bringing it.
Yes, but what the reason I was going down that route is because, to my mind, this is kind of the opposite end of the scale of where Jakehead sits. You know, I think that.
Well, the colour is totally the opposite end of the scale.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in terms of the flavours, the aromas, it's all very much like contrast to what Jakehead is, you know. So there's definitely scope for them to do both beers.
What would you describe Jakehead as then? Would you describe it as an IPA? It's more like an American pale ale colour, isn't it? It's got that sort of reddish kind of tinge to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's. But then, how broad is the IPA? As the style guides for IPA are all over the place, aren't they?
So, I mean, I must admit, I'm a fan of style guides when it comes to designing a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look to that for inspiration about what I should, and then you can play around the edges after that. That's what causes the blurring of the boundaries anyway between all these beers. But IPAs is one that the range is ridiculous.
Well, it's just like saying a beer, you know, really. At what point does a pale ale become an IPA? You know, it comes.
I do it on bitterness when it comes to those two.
Yeah. Personally. So do you have a line where you're saying what level of bitterness you think goes?
I hardly put any in.
Right. So your pales.
It's all more late hop additions and aroma and last minute sort of additions rather than like an IPA. I would put a dedicated bitterness addition in.
So
a name for like 30 IBUs plus.
But so you're determining what the beer is going to be in your intention of what that beer should be. So low bitterness, pale.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So the IPA, it doesn't have to be pale. Right.
Yeah.
As pale. I know the P in IPA, everyone flames me. So the P in IPA is for pale ale, but I wouldn't go for the beer we're drinking, it's kind of, I mean, it's called a dipper, but it's almost lager sort of
colour
lightness, isn't it?
Colour-wise, it's incredibly pale.
I put a bit more caramel malt into an IPA than I would. I wouldn't put any in a pale malt, in a pale ale.
So, I mean, that's a big beer to be so pale, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me wonder, does it tell you anything about the malt? It doesn't tell you the malt specifically, just as barley.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's a good. You start big, Miles.
Don't I always?
It's all downhill from here. I brought the rest.
Well, I love that though. When something just grabs your attention. Let's be honest, right? Branding wise, that's hilarious. Imagine imagine you're starting out a brewery, you're sat there in front of your bank manager, and he says to you, okay, so what's your idea? Well, I'm going to release this beer, and I'm going to put Hank Marvin all over the can.
Mm-hmm. Holding a Photoshopped guitar hop hybrid thing. And I'm going to call it Dank Marvin, and we're going to put some green. Some like kids' sunglasses type thing on it.
Yeah. And it's going to be brilliant. So, question for you.
Yeah.
Given the choice, would you rather have a pint of that or a pint of Jacob?
That's an easy question.
Do you think?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think anyone needs to hear that. I think that'll be the last time I drink a Dank Marvin.
Yeah. No.
I hope there isn't ever a last time that I drink a JK.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a fantastic beer.
It's good. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's Spiderman, and they're absolutely knocking it out of the park every time they release them. So didn't expect anything less, to be honest. But anything that launched alongside the JK cans was always going to have it. I mean, they're probably not having any trouble selling it.
Don't know.
Suggesting for saying they are, but the JKED was gone.
But I think it's probably gone under the radar a little bit.
Because of that.
I love the snake on the JKED can.
It looks nice, doesn't it? The branding on it looks really good. Is that different to what was on the bottles? I think it is. The bottle they had the sort of the side on drawing of the
which is sort of the on a beige background.
Mm.
Obviously, the cans that brought life a lot more.
I love the texture of them. I like those labels.
Yeah, they've
got that kind of rough texture.
I do think. I mean, you go into a bottle shop now. The plethora of cans, and actually, I heard owner of one bottle shop in Newcastle saying that he feels a bit daft calling it a bottle shop anymore because vast majority of the things he sells are cans, you know. It's like,
it doesn't. Well, we've moved our stuff over to cans. Well, doesn't because stop. That's me. What the bottle shops have said to us.
Mm-hmm. So is it from the bottle shop's point of view, it's easier for them to stock cans, isn't it? It's easier. Personally, I'm not drawn towards cans or bottles, but I think perhaps newcomers to the market are more drawn to cans. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe they're prettier.
There was some. I think one person said to me that there's more real estate for putting your label on a can than there is on the bottle, because the neck you can't really label it the same way. So you've got more surface area to put your label on. But if you look at this 500ml bottle that we've got sat next to the can, it's not that much bigger, is it?
No, certainly not. But that is that driven by the move away from 500ml bottles?
Maybe. The one of the reasons we've gone for 330s with our cans, which is kind of off trend, because everyone's gone 440s, isn't it? You can fit two 330ml cans in the same footprint on the shelves as one 330ml bottle, because two cans fit the same height.
Yeah.
As soon as you put the 440s in, that argument's out the window. So, like, you could argue if you were stocking a fridge, I can get twice as many cans in the fridge in 330ml cans as I can in 330ml bottles.
Yeah.
But if you then start putting 440s on, and 500s, the argument's not there anymore. The lighter in terms of transport, stack easier.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely. I mean, for me in the storeroom, we can fit a lot more cans into the same square footage in the storeroom as we can in the bottles.
And obviously, we all know about the protecting the beer a lot more, you know, I think that.
Scientist head on, I'm not.
You're not convinced? Or you just.
Well, glass is inert and aluminium's not.
Right.
So, sorry, move my phone off.
You're banned.
I put it on silent. I thought I had anyway. Cans, one of the reasons they moved away from them in the past was that they do taint the beer over time. But if you're going to drink it quick, you're fine. I don't know if I could tell the difference personally. If you put it through a machine, it might be able to tell you the difference. But
yeah, you wouldn't necessarily
detect it. Dark brown bottles. Do we want to go science mode already? But like brown over green, and do you know all those arguments about brown over green and polarizing of light and skunking and all the issues for using these?
Yeah, but
do you think the audience would appreciate us going down that pathway? I don't know. So brown bottles block more light than green bottles, and pale, like transparent bottles, don't block anything. So, Corona, lime. Why do you put a lime wedge in the top of a bottle of Corona?
Just to try and get a bit of flavour into it.
To look hipster.
Yeah, because I'm cool.
Do you know why they do it though? Like where that came from? Why they do it?
No,
there is a reason behind it.
Uh huh.
So in transparent glassware, obviously, UV light can damage one of the compounds in the hops, and it cleaves one of the bonds off it, and it turns it into a different chemical compound. And the compound it turns it into is the same thing that skunks produce when they spray.
Hence the term.
Skunking.
Yeah.
Right? So the lime is to mask the smell.
Right. So it's masking the smell of the beer.
It's masking the skunk beer.
Oh.
Right? So if you've got a high turnaround and you're in the UK, you're not going to have to worry about light struck damage to your Corona, are you? So no big deal. But in Mexico, I think that's where it comes from.
Right.
So obviously, green bottles are better. They block more light.
Yeah.
So your Grolsch bottle and whatever. Mm-hmm. And brown bottles are better again.
But more specifically, it's from the blue range of light, isn't it?
On the UV
spectrum. Yes, yes. And I imagine that green being closer to blue than brown, does that work?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I'd have to check you working on that one.
Get back to me. I'm right. I'm always right. I'll just edit it so I am.
You probably are.
Yeah.
I'd not thought about it. I know the skunking story. I don't know
the
difference on that side. Dr. Hoff is back, everyone. Whether you wanted him or not.
So that's why we've got Hank Marvin on it. No, it just works, is it? But that was a fantastic
It was a corker.
So, next up, bit of a twist. I set Chris a challenge. One of the things I want to do is just set like a budget challenge and say, I said to Chris, I says, right, okay, bring some beers along. Your budget's a tenner. Do with it what you will. Make your own decisions as to how many beers you want to get. You can bring in one big beer or multiple little ones, entirely up to you. So, Chris, first of all, did you get my email?
Yes. I did. I brought some for
once. So you have brought some beers. Great. That's a big relief. Otherwise, this would have been a really flat feature.
It would.
So, do you have a thought process? Do you want to...
All right, well...
Do we know how many beers we've got?
I brought three.
Three beers, yeah. Right. Okay, so...
But not two each of three beers, because that wouldn't have... That'd have been...
Well, for a tenner.
Yeah. In that, but so we're on Sherry's, but... So I've got a beer that I picked up in Belgium, which is a bit of a cheat.
Right.
Because it probably wouldn't be within that budget if I'd got it over here.
Okay.
I've got an IPA I picked up around Christmas time.
Right.
And I've got one that you can pick up on the shelves all year round, any time, if you know where to go to get it.
Right, okay, right. So we've got a good little range here.
We've got a bit of a mixture.
So. Oh, I like it. So.
So, the first beer I've got is this.
Ooh.
Which is Sam Smith's Organic Chocolate Stout. Now, some of you might have guessed from the accent, although I've lost a lot of the accent, that I'm a Yorkshireman. So
he's tight. No, sorry.
Oh, shots fired. I'll show you how tight I'm when I pour this beer. You're getting a small glass now, sir. Oh,
I should have made that joke after you poured it.
So, yeah, I've got the organic chocolate stout. Now, I imagine you've had this one before, Miles.
I have, yes. Yeah. But actually, it's quite a long time since I had it, so yeah. I'm quite looking forward to it.
Now, I first had this beer. It's not that many years ago when I first had it. Maybe three years or so ago, maybe. In Tilly's in town. Mm-hmm. And just when I was getting into all my sort of fruit lambics and whatever. And Sam Smith's, obviously, in this range, have got their organic raspberry and their organic strawberry and whatever. So I'd tried those ones when I was on me raspberry sort of geysers and... Mm-hmm. Creeks and all the stuff that I was getting into in terms of that sort of thing. And the guy behind the bar was like, have you tried the stout? I'm not a massive stout drinker, but chocolate stout, I'll give it a go. And I was gobsmacked by it. I thought, wow, this is a really good beer and really reasonably priced. So I picked this one up for £2.95 and it's a 500ml bottle. Right?
So that's £3, ladies and gentlemen.
550ml bottle.
Of his £10 budget he spent.
$2.95.
Right? Okay, I'm just going to jot this down.
Yeah, you know, you keep me right.
I'm official podcast accountant, so we'll keep keep a tab on that.
Do you want me to pour this?
Yes, go on.
Pour this.
And as standard, this comes as a 500ml bottle.
Yeah, 550 actually. 550. It's actually bigger than a 500. And it's 5%.
Yeah.
So. It says, brewed with well water, the original well sunk in 1758. It's still used with the hard water drawn from 85 feet underground. The gentle roasted organic chocolate malt and organic cacao extract impart a delicious, smooth and creamy character with inviting deep flavours and a delightful finish. This is the perfect marriage of satisfying stout and luxurious chocolate, best served at about 11 degrees C. And it's -5 outside, and this came out of my garage.
Yeah, so, it's a bit more than...
It's warmed up a little bit, but it's probably a bit warmer, probably a bit colder than it suggests. So we're a million miles away from a murky dipper that we've just had.
Yeah, quite.
Which should be nice contrast. And then we'll mix it back up again afterwards.
This, I always used to quote this as being a gateway stout.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So.
Now, that, when I've poured that, it's poured quite fizzy carbonated.
It has.
Rather than kind of creamy carbonated.
Yeah.
That makes any sense.
We're talking large bubble heads.
Yeah. But it's not like I remember that it smells like.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is it?
It's very, obviously almost very chocolatey, but it's, in terms of the type of chocolate, it's got a bit of a bitter edge to it. It is aiming at milk chocolate, but there's slight hints of cocoa to it, isn't there?
I just think it's a cracking beer for £3. Yeah, you can't go wrong with it.
And isn't Sam Smith a relation of John Smith?
My understanding is that they're brothers.
Well, the brothers on, or was it his nephew? I couldn't remember. That was the bit, that was why I said he's a relation rather than.
I just nailed myself straight to the mast. I just went for it.
You're just bald.
I might be getting mixed up with the McKellar brothers, though.
Yeah.
That's the other big beer brothers.
Yeah, the big family fight.
Yeah, because I think that's the issue, isn't it? With Sam Smith and John Smith was a big family for.
Yeah, it was.
Same as Evil Twin and Mikel. Totally different beer in terms of.
But actually, it's probably good for that.
I was thinking Mikel and Sam Smith. Totally different beers. You mean between the last two?
Yeah, first taste of that. That is such a good, accessible stout.
Yeah. It's, if you gave that to someone who says they don't like stouts, if that didn't change their mind, I don't know what would. But it's totally different to like an MP or a Guinness type stout or whatever. It's just so accessible. It's just like hot chocolate but cold.
But it is. It's cold chocolate. That level of accessibility is it's a real sign of quality, actually, isn't it? You know, to pitch a beer at that level where you and I can sit here and really enjoy that, but also knowing fine well that someone else could pick that up who wasn't into their beers at all.
I've recommended this beer to people in bars where they've said, "Oh, what shall I get?"
But in,
try that if you're not sure about beer, get that.
In terms of flavours, chocolate straight away. It's like, oh, what's not to like, you know? And actually, look at the way the heads have settled.
Yeah. Now the bubbles have calmed down. That's what I remember it looking like.
Mouthfeel-wise, it's certainly not heavily cold.
Loads of body. Yeah. Loads of body to it. But it's not like cloyey. It doesn't like stick around on your tongue. It just vanishes after a little bit.
And it would be very easy to try and make something chocolatey and sweet. I don't think that's...
It's not excessively sweet, is it? It's not lactose sort of milk stouty sweet. I don't even know if there is. Well, I was going to say it's vegan, but it's not vegan. It is vegan friendly, so it's not got any lactose in.
So if you were to try and get your head around how that texture comes about, I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't know.
But you can get body by playing with your temperature profiles.
Right,
so you can mash at a higher temperature if you want more body, because you get more residual sugars from mashing at a higher temperature. So it's going to be sort of a medium to full body temperature mash. So you're talking like 67 to 69, 70 degrees
mash temperature. Yeah.
That's going to give you some of that residual sweetness.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the cleverness of how the chocolate comes through.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You could probably just boil some chocolate in there, but they've done some work to do it.
But it's vegan friendly.
Yeah, so... Well, it says, did it say, it said cacao something or other, didn't it?
Oh, did it, sorry.
Organic cacao extract. Or cocoa extract, sorry, not cacao extract. Organic cocoa extract.
It's cocoa, man, it's from Yorkshire.
Sorry, I'm trying to not be...
but this is a very strong contender for being a beer to show people who don't normally drink beers that actually beer isn't about what you think it's about. And
absolutely, you could give that to anyone who says, I don't like dark beer.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact they're not going to say, I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they don't like chocolate.
Which
which is a very small minority of people, so I think you're pretty safe.
What proportion of the population are you talking about? Exactly. But the reason that that matters, and I was talking to work the other day about this, and having beers which change people's perceptions of what a beer is, because people who don't drink beer have a steadfast perception. Of a beer is a pint of lager, bitter, whatever. But actually, it doesn't have to be that. You know, that there's such a myriad of beers available now that they're not aware of.
Yeah. But you'd never be aware of them unless you turn into
Exactly. But if you put that in front of someone, all of a sudden it's like, didn't know beer could taste
it. This is what's great to do. I like doing that. Unfortunately, most of my friends now have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like you can do that often anymore. So you don't get that opportunity.
So if there's anyone got any spare friends out there?
I thought you were going to say, if there's anyone listening to this podcast that doesn't like beer.
Yeah, I'm struggling on that one, I think.
I think we are, aren't we? Niche audience that we have.
You know what it is?
It's if we've still got an audience.
Oh, no one's listening by this stage. No one. That's a fantastic start to the.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed that.
I haven't had it for a while, and I picked it up. I picked it up over Christmas holidays while I was off.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do this on like the £10 thing. I didn't go out and buy them today. I leave all the price tags on for you. So like,
yeah,
I raided the garage for. Because you only asked me this afternoon.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't really give you much time.
No.
You
know. But I picked this up. I'd gone in to pick up some sort of lambics and stuff like that from one of the shops, and I spotted it. And I was like, I haven't had that for a while. I'm banging that one in there.
And actually, if I'm honest, what I probably set out with this, with the mindset of doing, is in setting people budgets, I think what it's going to bring out is good quality, low price beers, and that's a fantastic beer for the money.
I think so for that. For $2.95.
Yeah, brilliant. The next couple of beers I got a lot to live up to.
Well, it's one of your favourite breweries next.
Ooh, exciting.
I know you're. Shall we finish this one off though?
Yeah, because I'm really enjoying it.
Before we get on to that next one. That's the thing with a 550ml bottle.
I know you got a lot to eat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cheers, man.
You both. In fact, I know it's one of your favourite breweries because the glass I'm drinking out of.
Oh, I see. Oh, is it
the glass I'm drinking out of?
Are we using the wrong glasses?
I think we just appreciate that we are now because I didn't twig that before. I didn't actually notice. So I'm drinking out of a Buxton glass for the benefit of the tape.
Oh, it's a Buxton beer.
So we've got a Buxton beer coming. Know you'll be pleased with. It's not one I've had before, and I'm hoping it's not one that you've had before, but
right. Okay. Good strong first beer there. Very pleased with that.
Excellent.
Second beer I'm already excited because you've told me which brewery it's coming from.
Yes. But
do you want to introduce this beer?
Okay. This was one my wife picked up for me actually. Being the diamond that she is. It's a black IPA.
Excellent, yes.
Style that's gone in and out and then back in.
It's
and
come,
then I'm not sure if it's sticking around for long this time or it's gone again. Or,
it's kind of come back in pockets. I don't think it's really grabbed yet, has it?
I mean, it had its moment, didn't it? Probably before dippers and stuff.
That
was
yeah,
kind of the
certainly.
One that everyone was doing. It's a style I like, personally, so you know, be interested in having that after having had a chocolate beer.
Yeah. But, So before you you open, which beer is it?
So,
introduce the beer. Go on.
Yeah. So The beer's by Buxton.
Yep.
And it's called Imperial Black. It's got a goblin kind of sort of monster thing on the front. It's really dark, sort of.
You should be scared of this beer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then when you look at the ABV, then you think, oh, yeah.
And so the ABV is
it's
what?
7.5.
Yeah.
So bear in mind, we just had an 8.6 a while ago.
Yeah.
And
the dank Malvern was 8.6.
This one's 7.5, but it's just classed as it's just called an India Pale Ale. It's called Imperial Black, but it's not implying that it's Imperial anything. It's just that's just the name. So it says game changing black IPA, store chilled, drink fresh. So it's canned 20th of November. So
it's kind of
back end of last year.
Uh-huh.
Best before May, they're saying. So they put 6 months on the best before.
So at what 7.5%?
7.5, yeah.
At 7.5%, it kind of implying it's Imperial.
Well, it's called Imperial.
But stating that it's an IPA.
Yeah. We had a little chat. I think probably off recording there.
We'll
get this out the fridge about where you draw the line between what's double strength, what's triple strength, what's IPA strength, whatever.
I totally get the mindset of you may start out with a beer. Say a core beer at your brewery, whatever level that
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
If that beer you very early on label an IPA, to double it, that kind of sets the benchmark for where your double IPA sits. Yes. You know?
Yeah. Funny you should say that, because we did something similar with Overdraft.
Right.
So we started playing around and we called a beer Overdraft. And I like the name Overdraft.
Yeah. Like,
we could do extended Overdraft.
Uh-huh.
We could do maxed out Overdraft, and we could sort of like, as the ABV goes up, we could step up. And it's like, so we made another one, which was a bit stronger. We only went to like 5.2,
just,
and that's extended Overdraft.
Just to explain, Overdraft is what? ABV?
Well, we haven't done it for years. It was when we were first starting out. So we came up with the name Overdraft. And I think it was only like a 4 point whatever.
Yeah.
But then
and around 4%.
Yeah.
So when you extended it...
So we're going, right, okay, we're going to put more hops in, we're going to bump the ABV a bit, it became extended over there. Mm-hmm. But we've called it an IPA. Right? So that means now that if I want to do a double, then that's going to have to be whatever. But 5.2 is probably not what most people would call an IPA.
But when you did Overdraft, was that pitched as a pale ale? Or, do you know what I mean? Or was it
I think
just,
we called
it
an just... IPA, but it was kind of English-style IPA, not right, kind okay. of like... American style 7.2. Uh-huh.
I mean, bear in mind, this is what, how many years ago?
2013, 2014, yeah, yeah. Time when we were playing around with these.
But at the time where the what an IPA was very much in a state of flux.
Well, probably still is, isn't it?
Well, yeah, yeah. But the perception was that there's these new fandangled American IPAs coming in, new style, which is a much higher ABV, much more hop forward style.
It's interesting when you go, we're going to go back to style guides again here, right?
Yeah.
If you look at the style guide, I should pull it up on my phone. I might do it in a minute. If you look at the IPA style guide, it says something like 4.5 to whatever, 7 point something is what it says is the range.
Yeah.
But you've got some breweries you speak to will say it's not an IPA unless it's up in the 7.
Yeah.
And then you got like the Camera Festival last year when they asked for people it was the year before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When they asked for people to do an IPA,
yeah,
they put a 4.5 to 6.5 limit on the range, didn't they?
Right.
Because there is.
I didn't realise that. Six and a half's quite.
I think it was 6.5.
Right.
Might only been 6.
Yeah.
But, they put a limit. They wanted an IPA, but with this ABV range. So there's a very different opinions about what an IPA is. And like you said, there's that American style punchy IPA.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. And there's maybe the more traditional, do I want to say Green King IPA or something like that? That's probably about 4%.
Yeah.
What
I don't actually know how better to describe it, really. You know,
like a three, like you know, like an English style IPA.
But what you mean is the sorts of IPAs that were around before the American IPA invasion, as it were. You know that.
Yeah. Well, where does the name come from? Is it this story about beer going over to India and packing it with loads of hops so it preserved it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then Russian Imperial Stout's another one with the Wild Oats stories where it was brewed to a higher ABV to stop it freezing on the ships when it went over to Russia.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the question is with IPA, was it brewed stronger and more hops for the journey, or was it just the hops were in as a preservative? So what defines an IPA? Is it its strength or is it its hops?
Yeah.
That's for me. Yeah. Like, that's the question.
True.
Like, I think with an IPA, it's about its hops.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But maybe the strength is then proportional to the hops as well. It needs that higher ABV to carry all those hops.
Properly. Well, the other thing, I've asked this question of a few people, that a double IPA, when double IPAs first started appearing, were they a double IPA because they were double something, whether that's double the malt bill, double the hop bill, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or were they double IPA because they were double I, so they were an imperial IPA.
Well, you did see IIPAs and IIIPAs, didn't you, for a bit?
Uh-huh.
And certain breweries did use that terminology.
Yep. Well, imperial IPA, the Halcyon's an imperial IPA. What I like about that is that I ask the question, there's no definitive answer.
No.
There's no right or wrong. What I want people to do is think about it and think, well, actually, you know, it doesn't matter exactly. We can't sort of pin a flag to a mast here. It's just, these are the sort of things it could be. Do with it what you want, you know. So, anyway.
We should open it, shouldn't we?
We should.
Before it gets warm. So, Imperial Black by Buxton Brewery. Here we go. Right. So, it's a black can with a really dark logo.
440 mil.
440, this one, is it? Yeah.
Looks like a 440.
It is a 440. Yep. 44 centilitre this time.
Oh, sorry. Here's me speaking post-Brexit.
Might be post-Brexit when this comes out. With your editing. I had to get that one in, folks.
Happens all the time, you know. Getting out quickly. Well, cheers.
Need bother.
This looks good.
Jet black, innit?
It is.
Or is it just the light? No, you can't see through it.
No.
Not at all.
Head-wise, we've got some... quite a few larger bubbles in there.
Mm-hmm. It's got a white head, not like a sort of, you know, when you get that brown tinge to sort of like a stouty.
Yeah. Aroma-wise. Sort of
roasted chocolate
note. Yeah, but also, there's the lightness. There's fruit in there. There's lemon, isn't there? There's a lift.
Zing.
Yeah.
Right, you ready?
Yeah, the head's... See how the head's settled down?
Settled down on it.
Wait.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, that's nice.
Close your eyes and that's an IPA.
Cheers. Yeah.
That's what I like a black IPA to be. An oxymoron.
But there's just an edge to the lingering taste?
Much more than
the
double we had before.
Mm-hmm.
The bitterness is still on my tongue.
Yeah.
Now. 20 seconds after I had the mouthful.
Again, I'm a big fan of a beer with a bigger texture.
Yeah.
The texture on that's lovely.
Have we got any hops or anything on this? Does it tell us? You want to Google while you're...
I'll just ask my friend, Mr.
We've got some oats and wheat and barley in here.
I will say, I've just seen an image of... I hadn't realised this beer had been around for so long. I have had this beer before, but a long, long time ago. I've just seen the old branding.
I'm going to come round the table and have a look. What's that opposite?
That?
Also, you... Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely different brand, isn't it?
Well, it's obviously, that's a very long time ago, that. So, game-changing black IPA.
That's it. Getting nothing out of them.
Yeah.
Cards close to chest.
Drink fresh and taste the hops.
You definitely can.
Yeah, you definitely can.
It's not kind of floral, fruity. Not too fruity, anyway. There's a, like no, you said, no. There's a bit there, but it's just resin.
Yeah.
Again, you used word resinous about the last one. I'd say the same with this. It's that resinous.
Yeah, like I say, it's got that lift. It's got, don't know, just that edge of this isn't a stout. You know, it's...
Oh, well, no. There's a little... When we first opened the can, there's a little bit of a roasted character on the nose, but there's nothing in the taste. There's no roasty character.
I think I get a little bit before the bitterness hits at the end. And that's it. It's quite a strong beer. To be
solid. Do you know how to make black IPAs?
How?
You must know.
Of course I do, but I want you to talk about it.
I was just asking out. No, go on then, for the benefit of the tape. I just want to go Dr. Hop Mode again.
Yeah, no, it's good.
So it goes late in the mash, basically. So if you're making a stout, you'd use your dark malt in the mash, whereas with the black IPA, you put them in after you've mashed, but just before you start sparging, so you get the colour, but without sort of leaching too much of the sort of roasted character out of the dark malt.
So what does that do for levels of sugars in
You'll it? You get no sugars out
you
of
get
your,
no sugars yeah, from all enough. All you're doing is
you
try.
Barely get sugars out of dark malts anyway.
Right, okay.
Because the reason the dark is you've roasted them to the point that you've caramelized all that sugar.
Right, I get you.
So like your extract from dark malts, I never even include them in my calculations, sadly, because you get bog all out of them.
So in terms of like an imperial stout, say, where are most of your sugars coming from there?
Your base malt is where you get most of your sugars from on anything.
Yeah.
So most beers are going to be 70%
plus
malt bill wise in terms of base malts.
Uh-huh.
And your main base malts is your sort of lager malt, pilsner malt.
Yeah.
Sort of things, your Maritz, your pale malts, extra pale malts,
and
wheat malts are base malt as well. So like when you're making a goza or a sour or something, you might have 50-50 pale, extra pale, or lager and wheat. If you want it sort of bleach white kind of pale, you want your really extra pale malts, low color malts, and wheat malt.
So, colour wise, it's well worth seeing just how dark that is.
Yeah, yeah.
That is very much a black IPA.
It's blacker than the black IPA I make.
If Imperial is meant to say it's extra black, it's certainly extra black.
Definitely.
I mean, what level of roasted malt has to go in there to get it bathed up? Am I looking at the right way there?
Yes. So. Your roasted malts, right? You've got roasted barley, which is what is typically like an Irish dry stout.
Yeah.
And then up from that, you've got black malt, which is the most roasted, right?
Yeah.
But then you've got some of these speciality ones. I think it's Wyman's, I think, do it. They do what's called Carafa. And they've got Carafa 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And they're, I think they're called de-bittered malt.
Right, so they're not.
So, like, you get a different character to Carafa 3, Carafa 1. Mm-hmm. So, I think one of them's Carafa 1, I think it's this way around. Carafa 1 is equivalent to chocolate malt,
right?
But de-bittered.
Yeah.
And then Carafa 3 is equivalent to like your black malt, but de-bittered.
With the specific design of not imparting a bitterness to them.
Yeah, because you can get, if you use black malt wrong, you can get like an acrid kind of roast from it. Like,
yeah.
Because it's. Like if you taste it, it's like burnt coffee.
Uh-huh.
Like if you roasted some coffee onto the bottom of the pot. Like tarry kind of black.
Yeah.
Because they just kill the life out of it to get that colour, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's all sorts of different ranges of colour, and it's all to do with how long they roast the barley for.
I think black IPAs are stale. I don't know whether it's because I'm from that era where there were mass experimentation in black IPAs, but I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really love them.
I do.
And Buxton do some amazing ones, you know, like Battle Horse and things like that, which are just incredible, incredible beers.
They're a really hard sell.
I can totally understand that.
Because your IPA guys look at it, and if they don't know what they're doing, like they don't know what they're getting,
mm-hmm.
they're going to say, I don't like dark beers, I drink IPAs.
Yeah.
And your stout guys are going to say, that doesn't taste like a stout.
Mm-hmm.
So I know from speaking to some of the bottle shops and stuff, they're a harder sell.
And which makes a load of sense, doesn't it? But I love them.
Yeah, because...
In the same way, I would love to see more brown ales. Good quality brown ales.
You know why you don't see many brown ales appear?
Is it the stigma of Newcastle Brown Ale?
That's what I think it is. Uh-huh. It's like, you ain't going to take on doing a brown ale in Newcastle until you're dead happy with the recipe. And
I would love to see it. I mean? I really would. Because I think, as a style, I think there's so much more to it than what Newcastle Brown Ale is.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? That's my hope.
I've never made one.
No?
No.
Similarly, I think it's a hard sell.
Probably.
Because of the stigma of what Newcastle Brown Ale is.
We've obviously got good water for them.
Well, yeah.
Up here, because we wouldn't have been making beers that style if we didn't have the right water for it. So.
There's plenty of water up in that... in Kielder. Keep your set. That's a really good beer. I'm very impressed with that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I'm good. As an aside, Buxton Brewery, I don't like their branding.
No?
It's
solid font.
Probably especially on that can.
You don't like the goblin thing?
No.
It looks a bit like Gollum, but like if he's been burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it? That's what he looks like. It feels not like a bat. It could be a bat.
It feels a bit like, you know, when, how do I put this in a politically correct way? You know when someone tries to be hip and they're not? That's kind of how it feels.
You mean like when politicians try and dance and stuff?
Yeah. It just feels a bit awkward. Not that I'm saying that Buxton are an old fashioned brewery by a stretch of imagination, but what I think of their brand being
is the old bottle that you just showed me on the
computer. Exactly, there, exactly. So... I don't know what that says. I don't know whether that goblin creates a new brand.
What it does is it makes you pick the can up, because that's what a lot of people are doing, picking stuff up based on the
brand. Well, of course. But I'm just being a Philistine and being old fashioned. And...
Yeah. Well, to chop this one up on the tally chat for price.
Then, oh yes, I've got an official accountant here.
We're looking about a fiver for that one.
Right, so £5. So far, ladies and gentlemen, this is very exciting. He spent $7.95
ish. I can't guarantee that was a fiver. My wife said.
So what you're saying is you don't have receipts.
I don't for that one because it was. I think it might have been in me. Well, could have been Father's Day box. No, it can't have been. It would have been in me Christmas box.
I just hope the revenue aren't listening. But another grape, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you to have the last one. Because I'm most excited about the last one.
Right.
So we went to Belgium. Well, we went to Disneyland for our summer holiday this year.
Right. Euro Disney,
yeah. And I convinced my better half that, well, we're almost in Belgium there, so...
What?
Well, we were driving over, we're right?
Almost in Belgium.
No, but we were driving over to Euro Disney, right? That was the plan. So I was like, well, we're not far from Belgium. Can we go have a couple of days after Euro Disney where I can have my holiday? So I talked my wife into taking me to Cancion. With the kids, And we had a couple of days in Belgium after the Euro Disney trip.
Fantastic.
Absolutely because fantastic. She's into the sour beers.
I was going to say, well, it wouldn't be too hard.
It wasn't too hard to sell. Yeah. So the first night we're in this this hotel, and I was like, I'm going to nip out. It wasn't like a hotel. It was more like a, it's not one where they had their own bar. It was like apartments kind of thing, right? So we've got like a living room and stuff like that and a fridge. So I'm going to nip out and try and find a shop to open and get some beer. And I must have walked for about half an hour up this hill, found this little supermarket. It was almost like a Tesco sort of express attached to a petrol station type thing. And then you get inside and then they've got all these amazing Belgian beers, even though it's a petrol station, because it's Belgium.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. So it's the next one's from Leafman's, which is one of my favourite kind of go-to guys for Belgian sort of style stuff. I like all the fruit and stuff that they do. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I'd seen this peach beer.
Yeah.
So it's like a supermarket sup.
It's
a Belgian supermarket sup. And I know that this was only like 2-3 euros, all right? So we're in and around me tenner.
Right, okay. So you've got £2.05 to spare.
Yeah, well, we'll call it £2.05. I don't know what the exchange rate was, but I know this wasn't much. But I know if you got it over here, it would probably be a bit more than what I picked it up for.
Of course.
So I went back and we got more of these. So I got four of each. And I got the peach one, the apple one, and the raspberry one, I believe. And I picked the peach one because that's the one I had first while we were over there. And they're all sort of low ABV. They're about 2.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I picked for the next beer.
Awesome.
So it's a bit of a cheat because it's come under the 10 and two of the beers, I can't even remember the price of. But I know I'm not going to be too far off a 10 for these three beers.
So our top supermarket tip is go to Belgium.
Which is why I'm going back this year as well.
Why not? Why not?
So I'm going to grab that fridge.
Go for it.
Have a cork in as well.
So the exciting thing now is that I'm now going to watch Chris take the foil off the Rottweiler.
Yeah.
You never quite know how best to do it, do you?
No. Normally, what I do at all is I just don't take it off and I just crack straight through it like that.
Which works a treat.
Yeah. And it's got a cork in. Right? So this is 2.5%.
2.5%? Brilliant one. And you know what it is? Think about how many brews in the UK now are starting to bring out really good quality low ABV beers.
Yeah.
Belgium have been doing it for years.
Better than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoa!
That came out with gusto, didn't it?
We've got life, ladies and gentlemen.
So it's in a 375ml cork half champagne bottle. It's probably been bottle conditioned.
Definitely with the way that goes.
but
I will also say that not knowing what beers we're having tonight, I'll let Chris pick the glasses of choice, and he's gone for two champagne flutes, which intrigued me at the time.
But now do you know why?
Now it makes a lot of sense.
Because with this, highly carbonated. These types of fruit beers are the champagne of the beer world, I would say.
Yep.
It's even got the little thumb holder underneath the bottle.
Which is called a...
Oh, has it got a name? Was it?
It has. And I'm going to look really daft now because it was a talk quiz question.
Carbonation on that. It's absolutely look at that. Bouncing the bubbles. This is why we went for the champagne flute. Safety almost. We'll savour a bit.
Yeah, I think Alex should. Well, look at that.
So, head's gonna drop to nothing in no time. Yours is already gone.
It's gone.
So, the surface tension, because it'll be so dry, because they'll have fermented all that sugar out from the fruit, be super dry, no surface tension left. The bubbles just disappear.
Going back to what we were saying about people's perceptions of what a beer is, you could stick that glass in front of someone and they would not know that was a beer.
No. Not if you stick it in a champagne glass in front of them. And it's
but that effervescence.
The carbonation of the effervescence, And you smell it. Just smell that, mate.
Oh, it's lovely.
It's like a fruit bowl.
It,
isn't it?
Peach in abundance. Like it's not just like slightly peach orientated.
No, it's chucking like, it at you. Boom, peaches, loads of them. Like them or not, it's like tinned peaches. Though it's not. It's not like it's.
Yeah.
A bit chemical, almost a bit. You know, it's not like kind of fresh peach. I said it was like a fruit bowl before, but more I think it's more like a tin of peaches, kind of.
Oh no, I think it's ripened peach.
Maybe that's what it is.
Uh-huh. But cheers.
Mm. Cheers indeed. Still super sweet.
It is, but it's well balanced. It's not just all out sweetness. I think the dryness takes it away. Mm-hmm.
It needs those bubbles to strip that stickiness off your tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a cracking beer.
Flavour-wise, it's incredible. Yeah. It's lovely.
I don't know if it's all in Belgium, so I can't really read it anyway. it says minimum 20% on it. Concentrate of peach. I can't read French or Belgian or whatever, but I can. It looks like concentrate of peach, minimum 20%. Or words to that effect.
This is where beer becomes incredibly drinkable, incredibly accessible. It's lovely, that. Who's not going to like that? And it's really interesting that that was the tub quiz question, because I've got a bit of a quiz for you.
Oh, what? I'm not on duty now. I've had 4 or 5 beers tonight.
What I want to do is get you drunk and then introduce a new feature. So, new feature.
Put Chris on the spot.
New feature is, I've basically, what I've got is, I've chosen a beer.
Right.
And what I'm going to read out here is the last few rate beer reviews of said beer.
Right.
And you've got to tell me what the beer is.
Okay.
So I'm quite excited for this.
I'm going to fail miserably.
I bet you don't. It's good. Honestly, it works. This really will work. Right. So I'm going to start off by giving you 10 marks. And I'm going to take a mark away for every single review I've got to read out. Okay. So if you get it on the first one, you get 10 marks.
All right. Okay.
Do you get it?
All right.
I
get it.
So, first review. And this is from Keza61. That doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form, but it's information. I thought I'd put it out there. On the 30th of January 2018. Lovely, well balanced can of hop goodness. What a great beer. With super fresh tropical flavours. Super enjoyable from start to finish. And I will say that I will only ever choose beers that I know you will know of. You're allowed to guess at every stage.
Well, I'm going
to
guess.
There's no negative mark.
I'm going to guess at Dank Marvin, because I think you might have gone for
something like that. It's not Dank Marvin.
No. Okay.
It's a good. Got to get you the can in there. Do you want the next?
Come on. And listening, there's got to be some keywords here that give it away.
So, this is for 9 marks. This is from Bassbone Josh on the 12th of January 2018. Well, that doesn't help you at all. But
no, but it means that it's not Dank Marvin, because it wasn't out then. But it was out
I don't know, 12th of January?
No, it's got to be out about a week back.
Has it? Yeah. Anyway, his description. A truly wonderful beer. Full of fruitiness, but not overpowering. Almost sessionable. But it's just a touch on the strong side for that. One of the finest American pale ales out there, if not the finest. So it's an American pale ale.
Right. Well, the finest, or if not the finest, American pale out there. It's got to be something like Sierra Nevada.
It's a very good guess. It's not right.
Oh. What?
Do you want your next clue?
Yes. I don't like this game.
The next one's from Robin Shoot 123 on the 25th of December. So this was a Christmas Day beer.
Mm.
Cloudy orange in colour. Lovely hoppy beer. Just how hoppy pale beer should be. Sorry, I won't. Very fruity and grassy. One of the best IPAs around.
So it's now an IPA.
I think you go back to our previous conversation about what's an IPA.
What's an IPA?
What's a beer?
This is really hard. I'm going to get my own back. you at one point for this, I'm telling you now. I've got no idea. There's like a world of beers to choose from. I don't think you've had anything in the description that could have given it away.
Honestly.
Orange colour, right? I can't think of a beer that's orange colour. So, off the top of my head,
yeah,
a beer that's orange colour, I don't know. Maybe something like Tiny Rebel Club Tropicana.
It's a very, very good guess, but it's not right. Next up, Gyro Bip on the 20th of December. From the 330ml can, so you now know it's in the 330ml can.
Right.
Big-headed, cloudy yellow ale.
It was orange a minute ago. You just reading random beers out.
Pine fruity nose.
Pine. Right.
Citrusy hop flavoured with fruity notes and a nice smooth finish. Good stuff.
If this is one of my beers, I'm going to kill you. It's not one of mine.
It's not. It's really not. I wouldn't do that. I would not do that either. That would be cool. I think the next couple you'll get. That was your fourth review.
I know, but none the wiser because it's been yellow, it's been tropical, it's been piney, it's been orange,
it's been a paleo,
and an APA. So far.
So, the next clue for 6 points. And I will say that I need to extend this one because someone's gone over and above.
The 120 character limit.
This is from Misk. Aroma is hoppy and fruity. It smells like passion fruit. Mango, grass, citrus, hazy, golden colour with a medium-sized frothy white head. Flavour is medium sweet, light bitter. It tastes like grass, passion fruit, mango, lychee. Body is medium to light. Mouthfeel is thin. Finish is short, very balanced. The slight bitter ending. A great beer, nice balance. Quite complex, very fruity. 330ml can.
See the Gamma Ray or Punk IPA.
Oh, he's nailed it. It's Gamma Ray. It's Gamma Ray. Well done. Do you want to know that the next clue would have given away totally? A more copper amber bodied pour than its neck oil counterpart. I thought that would be the
That would have given it away. I'm glad I got it before you get that.
So that's.
I was allowed two guesses because I didn't guess on the previous one.
That, yeah, true. So that was for six points. 6 points worth of. I'll just mark that down, Chris. Right.
I'm going to get me on back. You're doing it next time. It's just me and you recording. And I get to pick the beer.
Oh, well done. That was good. I enjoyed that. My default was to go to Untappd after a certain point. And then the descriptions are all over the place.
I think reading those back now and thinking back to them, APA, IPA,
mm-hmm.
Gamma Ray, yeah. It's one of those that treads that line, isn't it?
And definitely. When you're just hearing one, after another, you don't think like that. But actually, looking back at it, it's very much because it's 5.6%. Color wise, it's a bit darker, so it's difficult for people to know quite where it sits.
Yeah,
it's a good beer.
I know why you said I wasn't a million miles off with Club Tropicana.
Yeah, see, I'm giving you clues all the time. I make it far too easy. Oh, that's a lovely
peach beer. We call it the peach beer because I can't pronounce it. It's like Pecheresse. Would you say it's Pecheresse or Pecheresse?
Hold up.
Pecheresse.
Yeah, I think it's a bit Pecheresse.
Anyway, you won't see this very often.
No, you won't. You won't.
But I think I have had it here and I don't think it's 2.5%. So I wonder if they do an export spend a bit as well.
Yeah. It's one of those beers that feels like it's completely unnecessary to brew at any higher percent because of what it is and what it represents.
Well, you'd lose some of that peach flavour if you let it all ferment out.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. It just punches you in the face with, like, fruit.
Oh. You could have that with your breakfast, couldn't you? Like,
yeah.
The fruitiness.
Fruit salad and slice of toast and wash it down with a glass of what is essentially carbonated peach juice.
Huh? Lovely.
There you go. Three for a tenner.
Three very good beers for a tenner there. all you need to do is go to Belgium for one of them.
Yeah, all you need to do is spend a ridiculous amount of money going to Euro Disney, and while you're over there, decide to drive to Belgium for a couple of days.
Convince your other half that Belgium's a useful trip on the way
there. Well, like I said, I'm going back, but Stu Brew's arranged a trip right over there this coming Easter holiday, and the students have arranged it, so I think we've got 4 nights over there, and I'll be topping back up on these. That's why I was prepared to break into my stash and bring one round tonight.
Because you know you can replenish. It. Fantastic. I love it. That's one thing. I'm 40 this year. So I'm looking to do things this year. One of the main things in chatting to various people, not least my wife, is that my beer stash is getting far too big. So this year I'm going to be getting well and truly stuck into my beer stash to try and get the numbers down a bit. And what better reason to just get stuck in and share a few beers with people? So
yeah, why not? I mean, I thought you were well over 40 already.
Tough paper round. Just before we finish, I wanted to, first of all, thank everyone who got involved in Beery Secret Santa this year.
Oh, what an event that was.
It was brilliant. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
We all owe you a big thanks for putting that on, because I know you put it out as a sipping forecast, but that wasn't us. It was you. You organised that. You did all the graft. I just came along for the ride. Enjoyed the experience, but mate, you put some hours into that, and I'm sure everyone listening and anyone who was involved and anyone off Twitter or whatever,
it was massively for that. You know, it was what I wanted to be doing. Do you know what I mean? It didn't feel like hard work. It's the sort of thing where when you get that level of response from people, well beyond what I was expecting.
Yeah.
It was like, this is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I loved it. The excitement of people posting pictures of the boxes.
Oh, it was the pressure, man, as well. It's like, what do I do? Because you didn't put any limits on it like you put on me tonight. It was like, send what you want. And you're like, oh, do I go big? Do I go one? Do I go three?
You know, a lot of my reasoning behind that was that, actually, first and foremost, I don't know what level I would set it at. Do you know what I mean? What parameters I would set people.
People were spending more on that, though, than you spend on your mum for Christmas. You know what I mean? Some of the beers that were going around, it's like, you wouldn't go and spend 50 quid on certain members of the family. There was 50 quid bottles of beer flying around.
There were some incredible beers, and incredibly generous people. And, you know, it's just to some point, the value drops away, and it's that thing of just sharing a beer.
Well, you know what? The problem with some of these unicorn beers is there's never the right time to open it, and there's never the right person to share it with.
Exactly.
So you've got stuff sat in the stash, mm-hmm. and like, you're never going to open it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got beers there that I paid 40 plus quid for.
Yep.
They've been in the garage for 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
And like, what? Like, yeah, I'm looking for something like my 40th birthday. There's a reason to open it.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
So it's a good job it's your 40th this year.
But yeah, I love the way people got involved with that. And it took people to be bothered to wrap a beer up and stick it in a parcel so it was safe and send it, you know, stand in the queue at the post office at Christmas, you know, it's busiest time, and send it. And I think it put a lot of smiles on a lot of faces, so.
I know for a fact it did, because I sat and watched the live feed coming in on Twitter when we were all doing it, when we did the thing, and when we did the, what was it called, the Google Hangout thing.
Yeah.
It was spectacular.
I will say it will definitely be back next year.
Absolutely.
Definitely be back
next year. And you know what? You're going to end up with twice as much work next time.
Probably.
I'm sure. Probably. There was people watching going, oh, I wish I took part now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the will this time coming around. Like, out of what, 50 odd people that got involved, it was like 2 beers didn't make it.
Yeah, and through good fortune, both of those people were sorted out with beers from other people, or delivered a very generous case afterwards after the event. So yes, so you know, it's a real sort of sign of what the beer community is all about, to my mind.
It was epic, mate. Thank you once again for putting that.
No, thank you everyone for getting involved. So, yeah. So I think we're done.
We are. Should a little bit of that left.
Should we say till next time?
And hopefully next time won't be so long.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. Right. Cheers.